I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Kenya Railway Museum in Nairobi, Kenya, in the continent of Africa. The continent that is the mother continent, the continent that has many things aplenty, but one which ironically and paradoxically cannot feed herself. We talk about hunger. Many ask, why is it that a continent so blessed has her deserts in the Namib, in the Kalahari, in the Sahara, but she also has her equatorials and the savannas, and therefore arable land aplenty? Why does Africa import chicken? Why does Africa import beef? Why does Africa import wheat? Why does Africa import maize? Why does Africa import eggs? What is the problem? And many of us see images of Africans dead or dying because they cannot be fed. Many of us see the impact of malnutrition and poor nutrition. And many of us will remember the 1980s when Western musicians performed in order to raise money to feed Ethiopia, begging the question, why can we not feed ourselves? Some say it is because of leadership, and there is an element of truth. Some say because it is of conflict, and there is an element of truth. Some say because we depend too much on rain-fed agriculture, and there is an element of truth. Some say is that because we have not mechanized our agriculture, then there is an element of truth. Some say because we use fertilizers that are not well prepared for our part of the world. But the larger question is this. And let us look at each one of these countries to the extent that we can. Let us look at West Africa and ask ourselves the question, why is it, for example, that Nigeria cannot feed herself? Nigeria can produce yams, Nigeria can produce cassava, Nigeria can produce all the things that we desire, but yet there is a sense in which we abandoned agriculture, and instead of focusing on agriculture as something that would ensure that we gain freedom, whenever there has been a discovery of something like oil, then people avoid agriculture. And that is why some have argued of what and about what is called the oil curse or the resource curse. The net effect of that curse is that people abandon agriculture. If you look at the contribution of agriculture to Nigeria's economy, for example, and I'm using Nigeria because it's one of the larger countries, one of the countries that is well endowed with both human and other resources. Why is it that she continues to import chicken from Brazil? Why is it that she is importing rice, which she can't produce? And I'm of the view that until and unless Africa dedicates her resources to the application of technology in the realm of agriculture, Africa will never feed herself in the manner that she should. I was shocked during the conflict between Russia and Ukraine to realize how much wheat we were importing from that part of the world. And yet, it is true that we can actually satisfy ourselves if we engage in mechanized agriculture and stop depending on rain-fed agriculture. The other thing that makes Africa to continue to import is the domination of the African agriculture space by seed companies which are not based in the continent of Africa. Look at the countries and the companies that sell seeds to Africa. Syngenta, from different parts of the world. It is Europe and America who are giving us the seeds. It is Europe and America who are telling us which seeds to plant, whether it is maize, whether it's sorghum, whether it's millet, It is those companies that are present in these spaces. And I'm saying that until the day that Africa is capable of commanding her agenda in the area of agriculture, determining what Africa grows and what Africa does not grow will always depend on seeds from other parts of the world whose agenda we do not know. You know, the other day, the minister in Kenya, the other day, to mean in the month of October, the year 2025, the minister for agriculture in Kenya came out publicly and informed the country, do you know, we are importing 5 billion eggs. And I asked myself the question rhetorically, have our chicken forgotten how to lay eggs? The answer is they have not. And the reason why we are importing those eggs is because we are still dependent on very crude ways of production of eggs. And I'm saying that in order to improve and in order to ensure that Africa does not go hungry, Africa must change the way we conduct agriculture. We must stop relying on rain-fed agriculture. And if we stop relying on rain-fed agriculture, we'll be going into a different spaces. We must also adapt ourselves to the realities of climate change. We know, for example, that dry land agriculture is something that is practiced in different parts of the world, and irrigation is one of the areas in which we must get into in order to ensure that we have year-round production of the things that we need in order to support our population. The other thing that Africa must do in order to feed herself is to ensure that the seeds that we plant are seeds that will be relevant to the conditions of Africa, and also change our eating habits. In many African countries, the traditional sources of nutrition have been forgotten. In many African countries, we no longer plant cassava. We no longer plant sorghum and millet and yams. These are spaces that we should get into in order to ensure that we are able to feed ourselves. The second thing that we don't talk about is conflict. I can confirm to you that in southern Cameroon, because of conflict, there has been no agriculture in the last 3 years. I can confirm to you that in Sudan, there is no agriculture going on for the last 2 years. I can confirm to you that in Tigray, in Ethiopia, no agriculture. In the Amhara region, no agriculture. In parts of the Oromo region, no agriculture. In parts of northern Mozambique, no agriculture. In parts of Central Africa, no agriculture. In parts of Democratic Republic of Congo, Eastern Congo, no agriculture. And when you have land which cannot be utilized, then Africa is going to face hunger. In parts of Angola, because of conflicts and landmines, there are parcels of land which cannot be utilized because the landmines pose existential threat to those who want to engage in agriculture. In Nigeria, we know because of the activities of Boko Haram, insurgencies, there is no agriculture which can be practiced. So all these factors must be considered in order to ensure that Africa is capable of feeding herself. In Ghana, for example, we know because of galamse. Galamse is a corruption of the English word, get them and sell them. Those who are engaged in artisanal mining of gold and using mercury are impacting the soil negatively, and productivity is therefore going down. The situation must be rectified. Africa is hungry for a number of reasons which deserve repeating. She is hungry because we are relying on rain-fed agriculture. She is hungry because we are using the wrong seeds. She is hungry because our agriculture is not mechanized. She is hungry because she is depending on cheap imported foods. She is hungry because our agricultural policies are not being implemented in the manner that she should be. She is hungry because there are too many conflicts which is making it impossible for people to engage in agriculture. She is hungry because her sons and daughters have not embraced technology. She is hungry because our politicians have not recognized that the ability to feed a country is what defines what that country can't achieve. She is hungry because she is eating the thing that she ought not to be eating. She is hungry because she has adopted the appetite for things that are not for Africa. So that your typical African is lucky, feels lucky when they are eating Kentucky fried chicken or eating hamburgers while we should be eating cassava. We must lose appetite for Kentucky fried chicken. We must lose appetite for French fries. We must acquire appetite for yams. We must acquire appetite for fufu. We must acquire greater appetite for ugali or nshima or saza, because what you eat defines what you are. In other words, I'm suggesting that we must have what I call a nutritional and culinary revolution in Africa. Once we have that revolution, I can guarantee you the hunger that we talk about in the continent of Africa will disappear. The last thing that we must point out is that Africa sometimes is hungry because it is artificial. Production of maize excess in Malawi, excess in Tanzania, and there is shortage of maize in Kenya because we don't transport these things, because we are not trading. If we were trading, we would discover that the overproduction in Tanzania will be beneficial to Kenya, will be beneficial to Eritrea, will be beneficial to all these things. So going forward, Africa is going to liberate ourselves from the chains and manacles of hunger by embracing new ideas, and not only embracing new ideas, but also implementing those ideas in a manner that is going to ensure that we have bumper harvests, which are guaranteeing the harvest of the foods that are in the best interest of Africa. And we must be very wary of Western seed companies, Western fertilizer companies, which are selling to us seeds which they will not allow to be used in their countries. Selling us fertilizers which they'll not allow to be used in their countries. But for the sake of profit, they want to be used in the continent of Africa. The time is now. The soils of Africa must be re-energized through organic farming. And organic farming can also embrace science and technology for the betterment of the continent of Africa. Let us expel hunger from the continent of Africa. Ladies and gentlemen, we are continuing this conversation. It is a long conversation. The subject remains Africa, and the focus is on all matters diverse but necessary. We'll see you again as we continue with the conversation. Thank you very much.